All right, welcome back. So we'll go directly to the pastor who is on the hot seat for today. Well, it has always been a hot seat, but the Lord has always given him grace. And that is no other person than our beloved brother, our teacher, and also a friend, Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
Shalom, Brother Ebuka.
Shalom, sir.
And shalom to the bride of Christ worldwide.
God bless you.
I must say shalom to the sponsors of the Bride Television for your contribution has made it possible for us to reach out to the whole world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for supporting us, and may the Lord bless you for that. Yes, this is our Bible session, Bible study session. We call it Ask the Pastor. And it can be any pastor, but for today, I am the pastor. He calls it a hot seat. It's actually a cool seat because I will not be using my own power to answer my own knowledge. I will be using the grace of God. And when it is the grace, everything is simple. To answer questions. And I believe that God will cause us to say something that will bless you and remove all doubts or confusion in your understanding of the gospel and the understanding of the divine agenda, this mystery of redemption. So, feel free to call, and also know that we are not saying we know more than you. No, but since we are also teachers of the word, we are obligated to what we teach and to make it clearer for you. So if there's anything we've been teaching that needs further clarification, feel free to ask us. And if there is any other aspect we didn't preach, but you think we may be of help to you, you call, and the much we know, we will share with you. So we'll be expecting your calls, and I pray that by the end of this session, we will add to the knowledge that we have and become more knowledgeable than before.
Amen.
So God bless you. You are all welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right. God bless you. Still ask the pastor, and certainly I'm very sure questions are coming in, and always, there are always questions. Okay, we have this from Zimbabwe, and that is Sister Patricia. She says, I have a question, and that is, can one receive the Holy Ghost without being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Sister Patricia from Zimbabwe.
Yeah, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost before receiving water baptism.
Yeah.
We see it in Acts 10. Chapter 10. We see it in Acts chapter 19. Mm. So it's possible in the house of Cornelius and also those brethren in Acts chapter 19 that met with Apostle Paul. Yes, it's possible. But after you have received the Holy Ghost, you will do the correct water baptism, for he will lead you to all truth.
All right. God bless you, Sister Patricia. Scriptures have been given you, especially Acts chapter 10. So go through it. And we have other questions coming in. And this is from Edo State, Nigeria. Brother Benson says, sir, I need the interpretation of the parable of the new wine and new bottle. That is Mark chapter 2, verse 18 to 22.
Mark chapter 2, he said he needs interpretation.
Yes, of the new wine and
verse
new bottle. 18.
Yes.
18 to 22 says, and the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Okay,
I 21 think his is question 22, is 21 actually, and 22.
Yes, go that's on. What I was wondering. So 21 says, no man also sweat a piece of new clothes on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Verse 22, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles.
And what is the question? You want interpretation.
He wants a clarification, yes, on that. What the bottles?
Now, take note that he's given a parable and using the common things that were known at that time. Now, the bottle he's referring to, at that time, we did not have the technology of this kind of glass bottles and things that we use now, or plastic bottles. What he's talking about, what he's referring to, the animal skin that are sewn in a way that it carries, you know, they use it to store wine. Yeah. Now, because it is animal skin, after some time it will dry.
Yeah.
So, but if the wine is already there, and it gets used to that wine that is there, the old wine settled. Old wine is not as active as the new wine when it's fermented.
Yeah.
You know, when the new wine is fermenting, when the new wine is fermenting, there's a lot of action that takes place and it's looking for space to expand. Now, the old bottle, see the way it's put there. No man put new wine into old bottles.
Yes.
Now, the old bottle, the old skin is already skin and starchy.
Okay.
It is, you know, you can imagine the skin of an animal. It's already starchy, strong, hard. There is no room for elasticity, no room for expansion. It's no longer elastic. So it is hard.
Okay.
Now, if you put new wine inside that bottle, the activity of this new wine will expect it to expand to contain it, but it cannot contain it. So what happens? In the course of forcing it to expand, it will break. Now, he's talking about the old system that the people have been used to, the religious system people have been used to. In our time here, for instance, the denominations, they already have their religious rituals. We believe it this way, we believe it this way. Now those are the bottles. Then Jesus Christ is bringing new revelation that would make them, because remember that you are supposed to move from faith to faith, revelation to revelation. So when you bring a new revelation into a system that has been existing and they have been eating, drinking old wine, the system is already starchy. The system is dried. No more grace, no more anointing, no more anything. If you bring new revelation there, it will create confusion and the system will break. That is what Christ is talking about. So, he said, you put new wine in new bottles. And that is the reason why, first, you have to come out of the denominational system. Come out of the law. That's what Christ is saying. Because there's something new. We are moving forward. In this present day, come out. It is come out first. Don't try to take this new revelation of water. You want to take water baptism in the name of Jesus. So we are Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, ERCC, Equa. What are you talking about? Water baptism in the name of Jesus. You want to bring all this depth of all these revelations we are talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the manifestation of the Spirit.
I do remember once a situation in school back then.
Yes.
Where I was in, it was one of these popular churches, and I was given the opportunity to teach on that particular day.
The church will scatter now.
But till we finish the service, during the question and answer section, we did not reach an agreement.
You know,
everybody was.
So they have no room for further revelation. And so also it is, even with the followers of the minister William Branham, their revelation stopped at 1965 when William Branham died. Between 65 and now, they have grown starchy. They don't, many of them don't believe in the move of the Spirit, and they don't believe in the manifestation of the Spirit. They are and then there are some progressive revelation we are having now. If you take it there, they can't. It's old skin. So the old thing is that people have to come out and then, you know, be free from that and be flexible. And that is why I always say my evangelical field, where I take the message to, it's not the entire message followers. I go, to people who are fresh, looking for revelation. They are the ones that can receive it, and it will prosper among them all. That is the interpretation of that parable.
All right. God bless you. Question from Edo State, and I believe this clarifies that for you. Very, very clear. If you go through that, what we've read in the scripture that was referred here, Mark chapter 2. All right. Other questions coming in, and we have this from Brother Dominic from Benue State. Brother Dominic, God bless you. You can go on with your question.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
My first question is, somebody of 13 years
okay.
can they be able to be baptized?
Sure, at 13 years. Some of them have started seeing period at the age of 13 years. They're already entering their puberty. They already know right from wrong. So they can accept Christ and know the implication of their acceptance of Christ. Sure, can be baptized. Can even receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
God bless you.
And my second question is that, sir, in short, I don't know how to put it, but if the whole church decided to come to the water baptism on their own, my former church, I'm not the one that told them to come, but the way I explained to them, they understand it, and they can decide to come and meet me where I'm fellowshipping right now, and I'll be able to be baptizing them.
If they come on their own, from your former church, on their own, don't drive them away, because it will simply mean the same thing that you saw that made you to leave that place. They have also seen it, and they are living to follow the light that they see you are bearing. But where it is wrong is if you go there to begin to tell them to leave that place. That will be wrong. You just preach the gospel, and anybody that agrees with you follows you, and then you can't tell them to go back. Because you know that that place they are in, you know that it's a place of error. But you also don't want to be accused of scattering anybody's ministry, so that you don't. The Bible says we should pursue peace with men, you know. So it's wisdom you use. Preach it. Anyone that come, the pastor says, "No, did I didn't tell them to come." And to start with, anyway, there's freedom of religion, freedom of worship, and nobody should be tied to any place. So if they decide to follow you on their own, accept them with a celebration. You have not sinned.
All right, so let's keep the calls coming and questions through SMS and WhatsApp. All right, Sister Esther from Ajabadi, Lagos State, is saying, if you have a relative that is an extortioner and he sends you money without you asking money from him, what should you do? Are you to accept or reject the money? Sister Esther is asking.
Well, this kind of questions come very, very often. Take note of the scripture you may be referring to, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
Yes, verse 10.
Now read it from verse 9.
Okay, from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 9 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
Now listen the way he put it from verse 10.
Yet not all together with the fornicators of this world,
or
with the covetous,
or
extortioners,
or
with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world.
So we will always be mixing with them, but this is what he meant, verse 11.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard.
So you see, he has to be a brother in fellowship. Now, because you must deal with it's like saying that your own father is a native doctor, and that is what he makes his living. And you are telling him that he cannot sponsor your education, he cannot pay your school fees, he cannot, because you are now a Christian, he is still, the money he's making there. When you do that, you are taking the faith too far.
Okay.
Somebody freely comes to give you a gift.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's a different thing if he comes to you and tells you that, come on, let me share this money with you. I just robbed somebody there, now him I bring out to you. And that you say, no, you cannot be partaker of it. But you are staying and you are in need and somebody wants to help you and gives you more. Why are you asking him the source of the money? Mm. Won't he survive before? He has his income. Mm-hmm. You know, now that is not the interpretation of company.
Okay.
You know, that's not the interpretation of company. I remember that it's a ratio. Mm. That means you are dependent of him.
Yeah.
You know, if not, oh, why are you not the one giving? Why is he the one giving you? So sometimes we also allow the Spirit of God to lead, but you don't begin to be so fanatical to that level.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, and thank you for staying with us. We still have more questions coming in, and this is Sister Chizoba from Abuja. Sister Chizoba, God bless you, and you're welcome to ask the pastor.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Okay. My question is, can ring attachment weave stop someone from entering heaven?
Now, Sister Chizoba, listen very well to my answer. Now, nobody is going to hell because he is a smoker, he's a drunkard, he's a fornicator, he's a liar. These are only identification of sinners that you are wearing all those worldly things. This is how God sees you. James, the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 4.
Okay, James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, ye idolaters,
yes,
and adulteresses.
Yes.
Know ye not.
Now, see what he calls you. Mm. You're either an adulterer, a man, or adulteress, a woman. Why did he call you adultery and adulteress? It's not about sleeping with fellow men or women. Mm. What is it that makes you an adulterer?
Say, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
It is because it is friendship of the world, fashions of this world. You are, you know, doing what the worldly people do, things that we have been delivered from. If your, you know, if your mind is still in those worldly fashions, you know, your taste is still these worldly fashions, all those things you put on, what is the motive? That is evidence you are an unbeliever. So it is the attribute of unbelievers. There are things that are strange in the Christian faith. And when we say Christian faith, don't look at modern day churches. We're saying go back to the old time religion. Go back to the restoration move. Go back to the days of John Wesley, when the move for the restoration of sanctification, holy living, for the Bible says, holiness without which no one will see God. When that was emphasized and brought back to the church. Before Pentecost came in and Satan hijacked it and imported the world into the church, confusing the people with anointing, to think that being anointed and operating the gift is evidence of approval of your faith from God. That itself is a spirit of deceit. So I want you to note that it is not the earring, the necklace, the attachments that sent you to hell. It is what made you to be putting on those things that will send you to hell. For without that thing, you will not put on those things in your body. And that is called unbelief. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. That is very deep because it can also take us to Adam and Eve in Genesis. But let's have other questions coming in. And we have this, okay, this is Sister Laitu from Yobe State. She says, Shalom, Pastor Amra Godson, Shalom from us as well. Says, please, Pastor, I want to know the building materials that will not suffer loss, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay?
So what he said, what those building materials mean? You pick it, that's chapter 3, right?
Yes, chapter 3 from verse 12.
Now see, it's a rebuke. He was rebuking them, but from there we learn this thing. She's asking the question. Now, from verse 1, catch it.
From verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ.
Yes.
I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal.
See the evidence of your carnality.
And for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you striving,
that is envy,
and strife and
divisions,
are ye not carnal and walk as men?
Now watch verse 4.
For why one said, I am of Paul,
I am redeemed,
and another, I am of Apollos,
I am Catholic.
Are ye not carnal?
If your Christian faith is identification with a particular pastor, with a particular denomination, say that is carnality. Then he says something, verse 5.
Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man.
Go ahead.
I have planted Apollos, watered. Apollos watered.
Thank you very much. Say it again.
I have planted.
So there is the planter.
Apollos watered.
Now what did he plant? He planted the gospel of salvation and won the people to come. Won them to Christ. They gather. He has moved. Another minister is coming. The gospel that he will preach to those who have already been converted, he will only be adding more to their faith. You see, that is the watering. Okay, go ahead.
But God gave the increase.
The increase of grace, increase of the number of people believing, yes.
So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth,
yes,
but God that giveth the increase.
Yes.
Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
According to his own labor. Whatever you add to the church, whatever you add to that church. Now, verse 9.
Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God.
Yes.
Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder.
Wise master builder.
I have laid the foundation.
So there is a foundation laying ministry.
And another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he builded thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, if any man build upon this foundation.
Now, see the building now, the increase of faith. Because we're supposed to nurture the people to perfection. But how are you doing it will determine, whether before the Lord it will be acceptable or not. So all these allegories, symbols that is using, say
if any man build upon this foundation
gold,
silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stone.
Now, if you notice, they are all speaking of the strength of the materials you use in building. Now, gold is stronger than silver, and silver is stronger than precious any stone. Other precious stones, whatever name you call it, the wood, then hay, of course, and then stubble. So now you can see that if what you are adding to them is not going to build them to be stronger, there are people that instead of preaching the faith and increasing the faith muscle of the believer, they instead take them away from Christ, focus on Christ, and focus on themselves.
That's true.
You see? They focus on themselves. Anything that will not build the faith of the people and get them to be more spiritual and get them to be more Christ-like and get them to be more in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, Now, one day it will be tried.
Okay.
And this is what we shall be rewarded for. So the building material is what you are teaching them,
okay,
what you are aiming to, what you are using to establish the people.
Okay.
That is what is used to describe the kind of ministry work. This is for ministers.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you and God bless you. All right. We have more questions coming in. And okay, we have this brother Victor from Zimbabwe. He says, peace be unto you, Pastor. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, King David conducted a census of Israel despite Joab's effort to restrain him. Unlike in the case of Moses when he did enter Cana after beating the rock, why did God vent his anger on the people, leaving David the offender?
That is, first and foremost, we are called according to God's purpose.
Okay.
We are called according to God's purpose. David has a covenant with God about that royal seat. Whatever is the reason for that, it is election. It is God's mercy. Showeth mercy on whomever is, whoever he wills, shows mercy. And to fulfill his purpose. That is just the main reason. To fulfill his purpose, the same reason why Aaron and Miriam committed an offense, it was Miriam that was smitten leprous, because there is a job for Aaron that he has ordained for Aaron to do. You know, and so his own punishment is coming later. David was refused the privilege of building that temple. These are some of the reasons why, you know, he was refused. And if I am not mistaken, when David committed an offense, remember that he was a king.
Yeah.
God has various ways of dealing with his servants. You can imagine how painful it will be that David, a king, and he's seeing his subjects dying like that, and he's the one responsible. It's enough punishment thinking that I have caused the death of people.
Yeah.
And of course, David repented.
Yes.
But I don't know where Moses repented. You know, I'm not sure, I've not grabbed that, but I believe that the major reason is that the purpose for Moses was fulfilled. You know, the purpose was fulfilled. Remember, he was already an old man.
Yes.
And he had fulfilled the purpose, because the ministry of Moses, that's why I say it's for a purpose. The ministry of Moses is not just because Moses struck the rock.
Yeah.
There are two things that were being fulfilled there. God wanted to use Moses' case to teach us that God is no respecter of persons.
Yeah.
And secondly, the privilege that Moses had, David didn't have it,
yeah,
in knowing God, in meeting with God. The reality of God, Moses had more of the reality of God in the sense that he met God, he saw his backside, he was clothed in God's glory so much.
Yes.
The privilege has, nobody on earth has had that privilege at that time. And so for whom much is given, much is also expected. So it is, you can see that God, you know, demanded better reverence than that, because he said, you refuse to honor me before the people. What is expected of your knowledge of God is that you will honor him before the whole world and not to dishonor him. Also, Moses is a type of Christ.
Yeah.
He's taking the people from Egypt to the promised land. But it was Christ that brought us out of the law but in taking us to the promised land, he brought us out, and the ministry of placing us where we belong was for another person. You know, so he said he must first go.
Yeah.
And please, he went through the cross. So, and Moses And not, though his own case, not because he committed any offense, but we just see some types there. So Moses also, I remember that he said Christ was a type of Moses. In Deuteronomy 18, he says so. Now, he brought them out, but there was a Joshua that had been ordained by God to go and place the people in the promised land. Some apostle, some prophet, some evangelist, some place everybody. And in the promised land, that is Joshua's assignment in the promised land. How the tribe of Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Reuben, and all of them, this is your portion, this is your portion. He divided the land. So you can see that he was actually playing out a script, and that Moses had finished his own, but he also, though you have finished, let me use you to make a statement to others who will come behind you that I am no respecter of persons. And remember, he didn't go to hell.
Yeah.
Okay? Because an angel of God came to dispute with Satan, and he collected him. Yeah. And we still don't know his grave till date.
All right. Thank you. And let's keep the questions coming. Thank you, Brother Victor from Zimbabwe. All right. We have this Pastor John from Lagos State. Brother Pastor John, God bless you. You can. We would like to hear your question now.
Shalom, Pastor.
Shalom, Pastor John.
I have two questions to ask.
Okay.
And these two questions are both burning on marriage.
Okay.
I have two pastor friends. The first one, paying the bride price for the wife, he called off the marriage based on that to find out from the woman. So now he wants to remarry after 4 years. Then the second person, the wife packed out by herself, and he has decided to remarry. So are they constrained from remarrying?
The first person in Matthew chapter 19. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter 19. Jesus was asked in verse 3.
Verse 3 says, and the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
Yes.
And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?
Now go to verse 9.
Verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery.
Yes.
And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery.
So you can see that if they are truly Christians, the Bible forbids any other ground for divorce other than if you catch the person in fornication.
Fornication.
Yes, that is, you caught her with another man. Not suspect, oh, you must have enough evidence that she was in fornication with another man. So anybody, I'm talking Bible now, you know, that is why we say this question and answer when it comes to marriage is very complicated. Sometimes we listen to them personal, but you are asking him, what does the Bible say? This is what the Bible says, you know. So it is wrong. Now,
okay, and the second, what about the second? Okay.
Now the second one, the woman left. Now, if the woman left and goes to marry another man, she has broken the vow. So the man is free, because to start with, she's already living in fornication anyway. That man that she's married to now is already, sleeping with her. So, and that was the condition that we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 24 in Israel that we can apply now, verse 1 and verse 2.
Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 says, when a man taketh a wife,
listen very well, Pastor John,
and married her, and it's come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorce,
and give it in her hand and send her out of his house.
Uh-huh.
And when she's departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife.
Now listen very well, Pastor John.
And if the latter husband hate her,
uh-huh,
and write her a bill of divorcement,
uh-huh,
and give it in her hand and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband died, which took her to be his wife,
then
her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again.
You cannot take her back again. Wife. The first man cannot take her again to be his wife. After that,
she is defiled.
She is already defiled because she has gone to be sleeping with another man. Therefore, the first husband, now you are free to remarry because you can't take her back.
Okay.
God bless you.
I'm grateful, sir. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Okay. We have this, and this is Shalom, sir, and God bless you, my pastor and my daddy. More grace to you. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When Peter said, "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," that word's gift, I want more light on it. Is it the gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9?
Eternal life is a gift. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a gift of God. That is what he has come to give us. For God so loved the world
that he gave his
only begotten, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have
everlasting life.
Eternal life. Yeah. That eternal life is a gift. It's a work of grace. Yeah. That's why it is a gift. It's not the body gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is eternal life, which is a free gift given to us. God bless you.
All right, still on that question. Secondly, sir, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. Our Lord Jesus Christ received the Spirit from above after he was baptized. But in chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit he received led him to be tempted by Satan. It was after his temptation, in verse 12, angels came and ministered to him. But immediately after the Holy Ghost program in June, you go straight into the teachings of the gift and how we should operate the gift. Sir, please, what about this temptation's part, like it happened to our standard, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? Brother Sydney from Lagos State, Nigeria.
Brother Sydney, the Bible tells us that we have 1 Peter fairy trials.
Okay.
It said, as if some strange things have come upon us.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12.
Thank you. Okay, now read it.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fairy trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
Uh-huh.
But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering,
uh-huh,
that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Uh-huh.
If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye,
uh-huh,
for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified.
So I think this scripture has answered that question. Mm. The same way as Christ also suffered, we will also suffer. And Christ's temptation and trial did not end after Satan, because he went for a while.
Yes, the scripture says.
The scripture says it was for a while. Mm. But he came back. It ended only after he was crucified on the cross on Calvary. So all his life was trial, and the Bible also tells us that all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It says all of us are partakers of these trials. So it's our standard. That is why you should not see it as if some strange thing has come upon you. It is common, because it happened to our master, it will happen to us too. Satan will try us. And he therefore advised us in Romans chapter 5,
okay,
from verse 3.
From verse 3,
yes,
says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations
also." Can you see?
Also,
we glory in it, knowing that
tribulation worketh patience,
uh-huh,
and patience experience,
uh-huh,
and experience hope.
Yes,
and hope maketh not ashamed.
Why?
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts,
uh-huh,
by the Holy Ghost,
uh-huh,
which is given unto us.
Thank you. He asked this question. He said, immediately after the baptism, why am I teaching them
the
gifts?
Yeah.
Now, maybe you only hear me teaching the gift. You did not hear other sermons that I have taught about the trials of a Christian.
Yes.
I, and every opportunity I have I tell the people to be in expectation. Now that you have entered the battlefield of the Christian faith, being born again. But there are, it's not only trial that we follow, you know, gifts also we follow. So we must teach them, the two together. So I don't know what the problem is. I should not teach them about what is certainly manifest, and they may be confused. While you'll be serving God, it was while Christ was serving God during his ministry that all these trials and temptations come in. So we are, it's only a pattern for us
even
to follow.
In the trials, we also see the gift manifesting. That's how he was able to know Satan,
exactly,
see the visions of
exactly
Satan, even
was,
to the
so
pinnacle.
We have to like teach, that. We have to teach. And it is what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. There will be gifts. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Okay, we have this. Shalom, Pastor. Thanks for your response to my question last week regarding 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Your answer leads me to ask a follow-up question. If the voice of the archangel is as you described in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, which is between the sixth and seventh seal, then doesn't that puncture the argument that the rapture of the church happens in the third seal? Furthermore, if the shout is a message...
Sorry, let's take it again.
Let's take this first. It's talking of the voice of the archangel.
Okay.
As you described, that is in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1.
Yes.
Which is between, he's saying is between the sixth and the seventh seal.
Okay.
Then doesn't that puncture the argument that the rapture of the church happens in the third seal? That is the question.
You are to tell me how, because we are talking about the seals.
Yes.
And the order of fulfillment.
Yes.
So how does he punch it? Because in Revelation chapter 6,
okay,
in the order of fulfillment, we talk about, you know, the divine agenda and the, you know, the order of fulfillment.
Okay.
And we said that salvation ends for the Gentiles,
mm-hmm,
from when he stands up.
Yes.
He has concluded ministering to the saints, living saints.
Yeah.
Then those 3 days he was on the ground, that is when the thunder began to sound.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, to those in the grave,
yes,
because he makes sure that the living did not hear it, because it did not concern us.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, he comes out and we have our body change, and then we go. We said it takes place, it's all fulfilled under the third seal,
yeah,
you know, the resurrection.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that is the shout.
Yeah.
So where is the rapture taking place? And that's why I say I'm a bit confused. Are you talking of which one, the seventh thunder, or when the rapture takes place?
The rapture of the,
you know,
church,
the rapture of the church. So maybe, Brother Chris, you have to reframe your question so that I really understand it better.
All right, so let's go to question two. Question two says, furthermore, if the shout is a message and the voice of the archangel is a message, is it right to assume that the trump is also a message?
This is the way Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14.
Okay.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, concerning speaking in tongues.
Okay.
There is, I want to borrow something Apostle Paul made mention of. He says, verse 7,
and even things without life giving sound.
Yes.
Without life giving sound.
Yes.
Whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?
So you can see that, let's say in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9.
Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9.
Listen
says,
to the trumpet there.
And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you,
uh-huh,
then ye shall blow an alarm with a trumpet,
uh-huh,
and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies.
So the blowing of trumpet is also a message. Yeah. That's why it is, there is a way you will sound the trumpet. It's a trumpet. That is the reason why trumpets with horn skins, okay. I mean animal horns, they were used in the Old Testament. They will blow it. That was what was blown before they entered the promised land.
Yeah.
So also, the last trump, 1 Corinthians 15,
okay.
verse 51 and verse 52.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 says, "Behold, I'll show you a mystery.
Yes.
We shall not all sleep,
uh-huh.
but we shall all be changed.
Uh-huh.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
At the last trump. Uh-huh.
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible,
and
we shall be changed."
So the trumpet, I believe, is a physical trumpet that will be sounded, and we will hear it. Because it's a spiritual thing.
Okay.
And when you hear it, you will know what it means and what is to be done.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. It's physical. Physical.
It's not symbolic. It's not a voice.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say. In Matthew chapter 24,
okay.
Verse 29,
to
verse 31.
Okay, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened,
yes.
and the moon shall not give her light,
uh-huh.
and the stars shall fall from heaven,
uh-huh.
and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken,
yes.
and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven,
yes.
with power and great glory."
Now, note verse 31.
"And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet."
Of one trumpet.
Mm.
Of a trumpet. And what will happen?
"And they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other."
That is where we were after the rapture.
Yeah.
Now, there's a trumpet that will take us up. There's also a trumpet that will gather us to come back to rule the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That is why you see in verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
So it is actually trumpet. Okay. I happened to be in the military before,
mm-hmm.
and I know in the barracks, you know, when
yeah,
a trumpet is sounded,
yeah.
there are some, when you hear that trumpet, mm-hmm. it's telling you somebody has died,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and there is the one that is blow when the person is being buried.
Okay.
And when the close of day, work has finished and everybody should go back to your barracks from your offices, there is a trumpet that will sound. Once you hear that trumpet, then you know that the commander has left, everybody is now free. So will it be. All these are types of what will also happen in the spirit.
Okay, still on, brother Chris from Netherlands. All right, say, if so, what is the message, and to who? But please permit my abstract reasoning while meditating on the above. I was thinking in Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, there was only a cry recorded prior to the bridegroom coming. Could that signify that the shout is only for the church?
Sure. Okay. The shout is a message to restore.
Oh, okay.
Because after that, lamps were trimmed.
Yes.
So that means that, you know, you are hearing something, it's a revelation. What is a lamp? It's the word of God.
Yeah.
So it certainly is for the believers.
Okay.
That's why they are wise
and foolish.
And foolish. They were virgin, so they were believers.
Okay, and it still continues. It says, it's asking if the voice of the archangel is for Israel.
The archangel. No. It is for the Gentile, the rounding up, because he stands up to finish the process of collecting his bride before he then turns to the Jews, Israel, according to the divine agenda.
Okay, brother Christian from the Netherlands, God bless you and thank you for your question. Okay, we still have another question which came in probably through SMS or WhatsApp. Shalom, big brother Moses.
I'm big.
All
I'm
right.
not small.
My question is, question one, is it the real spirit of Samuel that the witch of Endor contacted? If yes, why would God allow a witch to disturb his servant who is resting? And that is 1 Samuel 28, verse 7.
Now, I want you to note, when you come to the things of the spirit, the mystery is too deep.
Mm-hmm.
Why will an unbeliever like Balaam?
Okay.
Balaam was not a Jew.
Yes.
But he had access to the God of the Jews for a purpose. And the reason why God forbade his people from going to this medium, sorcerers and diviners, because they would take their attention away from God and then focus on these media mediums that Satan is using. Now,
and also on the individual.
And even on the individual, yes. So that he had the ability to contact the spirit world. And everybody knew it, including
the king Saul.
Yeah. He knew that he had the ability to contact, just as much as, even, is it only a Samuel?
Yeah.
Imagine an unbeliever contacting the God of Israel, and he was not a Jew. So the mystery is deep. Certainly, it was the spirit of Samuel. Whichever way that is achieved, is a thing of the spirit, and there's nothing to confirm it, but we must believe the scripture that the spirit of Samuel spoke. And it was, he still prophesied, so it was the spirit of prophecy. Using the voice of Samuel, God still spoke through that medium to him.
Okay, question two from the same person. Says, why did Jesus cast out the devil into the swine, and why did the swine drown? What about the owner of the swine that happened? What happened to him? Was it justified? Is there any spiritual meaning to it? Matthew 8, verse 31.
Well, first and foremost, swines were unclean animals, according to the law. What is it there for doing in Israel? So you should ask that question. You know it's unclean. Why is it doing in a holy land an unclean thing? So every unclean thing in the holy land must be cast out and cast it to anywhere so that it does not exist again and resurface in another place. I just believe so.
All right.
And you are saying, is it justified? It's justified because he's the God of all creation.
I just asking about the owner of this thing. What then happens?
That is what I'm saying. The owner too. Why are you bringing that?
That.
And you know, why are you bringing an unclean
that,
animal?
That reminds
to
of Jesus place. Christ chasing the people selling the temple.
Turn their tables and
turn
scatter
their
them.
Tables up and down.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, our sister, for sending in that question. Okay, Sister Arietta from Cameroon. Says, Pastor, good evening. Shalom. A Christian woman wearing jewelry. Why I ask is, okay, probably asking, should a Christian woman, okay, wear jewelry? Why I ask is because in some churches I see women wearing it, and in some women do not. So I don't know if it is a sin for a sister or not for a sister to wear jewelry. Sister Arietta from Cameroon.
Whatever you put or whatever you wear, there must be a motive for it. There must be, you know, a motive for it. But I do know that God is interested in getting our hearts focused on Him.
Amen.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And when it comes to some of these jewelries and things like that, God knows the heart of women towards those things. So that may be the reason why many people who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just not by commandment, the interest on those things die, because they are some of the fashions, that part of the fashions of the world. That is what they define as beauty. But 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us that the beauty of a Christian is not defined by what you put on, but by your character. So, but you must look beautiful. But whatever you put on, therefore, there must be a motive for it. And if you want to look beautiful, make sure you put on whatever you put on. Let moderation be guided by moderation. That is what the Bible teaches. But if you have truly received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the thirst for so many of these things naturally dies. And don't do that because somebody instructs you, because there is no scripture that you can use to tell say that. You'll be, and when you do that because your pastor believes so and cannot prove it scripturally for you or otherwise, you will be doing it to please the pastor and not to God. And the Bible says that anything that is not of faith is sin. Faith there is revelation. The reason is because you are doing it, you know, you are hypocrites. You are not doing it out of conviction. And everything we do must be out of conviction. If you are not convicted, you are not convinced, I mean to say, then continue. Work with God based on your conviction rather than to please man so that you will be accepted and seen as a Christian. No, no, you must be convinced about what you are doing. But we are guided by moderation and we must not go the way of fashion. But I do know that when holiness was being restored to the church, these are some of the things that the Holy Spirit in the age of the restoration of holiness dealt with. Remove earring, remove those things you put in your neck and all those outlandish things. God bless you.
All right. God bless you and God bless you. We'll take a short break, and when we're back, we'll continue. Do not touch the dial. God bless you.